everybody, and welcome to 3 Men and a Beer, the Houston Rockets podcast for the 14th of January, 2016. It's a multiple sources podcast, and I'm here with Jeff. How's it going?
I'm in, you know, 5-game winning streak. You know, can't complain.
Exactly.
Obviously, it's
good. Pretty good time. better than the last couple weeks, I guess.
Yeah. Although, I mean, I think the last time we recorded like 2 days ago, I want to say, because we're having like a weird stretch where we're playing like 5 games in like, you know, 9 days or something or whatever it is. And, yeah, but I mean, yeah, we won those 2 games as well. Yeah. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah, might as well record another one, just get out there so we don't have like 6 games to go through in one show.
Yeah. I mean, that's. I agree with that. So
I guess we'll get straight into it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
So since the last one we beat Memphis 107-91. We didn't have Ty Demo in this one, but Memphis also didn't have Conley Barnes in this game as well. It was a pretty tight game. But there was a lot of like really like ticky tacky fouls going on. But like, what did you take away from this game?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to judge Memphis because who was it? They had Connolly out, and I don't think.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah, Matt Barnes. I guess he matters too, but Connolly's like an actual starter. So I mean that, and I don't remember. I think it was Chalmers is their backup.
But yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. Like I kind of like hesitate to be like, oh yeah, we beat Memphis, so that, you know, is like a statement game or something. But I mean. Still, it's a good thing. I mean, it's in Memphis, you know, and I mean, considering that we're kind of coming up like from like a month ago, coming off of like, you know, being the team that lost to like, you know, Sacramento and, you know, the Nets and Denver and all that. So, I mean, definitely wins like these are, you know, good. I mean, that's like the general takeaway, I suppose.
Yeah, considering that we'd already lost them twice, like this was kind of a game that we needed to win. If like it could be pretty pivotal at the end of the season, considering that we're like in the same division and
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, so, like I think yeah, they're still currently seventh, they're sixth, and we're seventh. I want to say.
Yeah, we're actually tied with seventh with them at the moment, but they're actually playing at the moment. So like depending on how that game ends, we might actually be sixth by the end of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can only hope, but I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, I guess to the point of the tiebreakers, it's highly likely that, you know, I mean, either the Grizzlies or the Clippers, I mean, we're bound to be tied with one of those teams, you know, at the end of the year. And so, I mean, obviously you want to get the tiebreaker and I think we'd have to, I'm not sure, because we definitely would have to win our last game because that would make the season series 2-2, and then I think it goes to division record and then a conference record or something. I don't remember the exact order, but
all right, yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, if we go 2-2 with them and we have the same record, what happens? But yeah, I guess it'll go to division record then.
Yeah, I mean, I know, I want to say if because we're in the same division, so I want to say it's division record first, like, but and then like conference, you know, is probably the next one. Like, I'm not quite sure on the order, but I mean. Those are the two like games that are important. Like, so I mean, basically, it's important to win games in the division and in the conference to like, you know, make your chances higher of getting these tiebreakers.
Yeah, before we go on, I just thought it'd be pretty good to note that we did win both the games this week, and we're actually 2 games above 500, which is the first time that's actually happened this season for us. And we're at 21-19, so it seems like someone might have clicked with this team, or like they might be on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of crazy to think about that this is the first time that we're 2 games over 500. But and I mean, again, you like look up in the standings, and I want to say the Mavs are like 1 or 2 games ahead of us, and then the Clippers, who are on like a 9-game winning streak. They're still like, you know, only like 4 or 5 games. Like I should probably pull up the standings, but I mean, it's like these teams are like actually, like, you know, realistically in reach.
Yeah, I think, yeah, just looking at it now, the Mavs are actually 1 game ahead of us, and the Clippers are actually 5.5 games ahead of us, so out of reach. But like it's pretty flexible in the Western Conference right now.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so the Clippers are five, yeah, you said 5.5 games, so I mean, that's that's going to be a little bit tougher to pull off, but it's definitely like, but before it's like, okay, you know, we're probably not catching the Clippers, but now it's like, okay, this, you know, this could like feasibly happen. Like, we, you know, there's still half the season to go and we're obviously on the upswing. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard, but I mean, it's definitely doable.
Yeah, the five seed is definitely within reach, and then basically, I guess, like if things go as they are, because like the Thunder, Spurs, and Warriors, I predict that they're probably going to be like the first, second, third by the end of the year as well. So, like if things stay as they are, then it looks like it'll be a rematch from the second round from last playoffs with the Clippers if they can get that five seed.
Yeah, that'd be kind of crazy. I mean, I guess that's the future though. So,
considering like half the people they picked up in the offseason were from that team that beat them.
Is Josh Smith in the rotation for? I don't even know if he's, or maybe he's just not getting that many minutes, or I don't know the situation.
I was watching the Memphis game, and like he seems like he's not really a big part of their rotation now because he was on the bench for a lot of that game.
Okay, so that
but Pablo had 8 steals in that game, so that was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. It was like 8 steals and like 15 minutes or something, or 20 minutes or something like that.
Oh yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, but that's like what he's known for.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like other things from the Memphis game.
Was just going to do a quick rundown of some of the stats. Like, we did out rebound the Grizzlies 42-31 and 18-13 offensive, and we actually make a. Like, I think this is the our high for 3-pointers made. We actually made 18 threes in this game, so that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, like, apparently it matched the... I thought it, like, set a new record, but apparently, because I read in, like, an article earlier today, it matched, like, what the season high was for made threes at 18. And apparently 18 is also going to... That set the opponent season high for Memphis giving up made threes. So, I mean, I guess that kind of tells you... How important 3-point shooting was.
And this game was weird. This is like we haven't been shooting the 3-ball that well, and it's just like this game was just weird because T. Jones hit actually 3 out of 4 3-pointers. So like I was just looking up some stats, and it seems like ever since his rookie year, his stats have gone up from like every year, and at the moment they're at 37%. So just. Like his stat line was 20 points, 4 rebounds, assists, and 3 steals, but 3 or 4 shooting on 3-pointers. That's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess like on the subject of 3-pointers, because like this was something I found out like while watching the game, because I happened to be watching the Memphis feed, so like, and they were talking about how apparently that like their team, like their defensive strategy is to like kind of pack the paint and like. And create turnovers, and so they're actually like number 2 in opponent like opponent threes like made and attempted. So like they almost like let you, you know, take a lot of threes, but then you also their opponents make a lot of threes as well. So like, and I think that was the difference because I remember the first 2 games that we played against them, we didn't shoot that well from the 3-point line. That was like that because they were both in that November period where. We were shooting like under 30% from the, you know, like last in the league and all that. And then, so I mean, it's a big difference, you know, now that we're actually, it's almost the reverse. Like, what's the stat? Like, since December, we're like number 2 in three point, like percentage, like behind Golden State. So, I mean, the 3-pointers are falling, you know, that, you know, we can win games like this. Like, we definitely wouldn't have won if we were shooting like 30%, you know, from the 3 like we had before. So,
yeah, and like I think another key to this game, apart from the 3-pointers, was the second chance points that we were able to get. Like those, we out rebounded them by about like 10 rebounds in total. But like I think it was like near the end of the game, it was like 28-10 in second chance points. So it's just a testament to like our bigs being able to get up there and get rebounds and then get points for us off those as rebounds. I think that was like another big factor in this game.
Yeah. That was another odd thing about. The offensive rebounding, like, because we had 18 offensive rebounding, or we had 18 offensive rebounds for the game, and the Grizzlies had 18 defensive rebounds, which means, like, if we're on the offensive end and we take a shot, 50% of the time, you know, we got the offensive rebound because, like, you know, half the time, you know, they got it, half the time we got it, Which, like, that, I don't think that happens that often. I mean, that's kind of,
like, I think,
yeah.
Like, with the offensive rebounds, I think it's just, like, I said it's, like, a testament to our bigs, but, like, more often than not, like, I saw Beverly was going for rebounds, and then, like, I think Thornton got a couple of offensive rebounds as well. So just, like, everyone was playing with a ton of energy this game.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of spread. Like, I mean, Dwight had six. Like, Clint Capella had three. Beverly had two. Like, and then a bunch of people had one. Terry was the only one that got a lot of minutes that didn't have any offensive rebounds. So, I mean, that's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Harden also had a pretty good game this game. He had a 25-5-5, and it was a 6-13 on field goals and 4-9 on 3-pointers. But one of the things I noticed with him, like a lot of people have been giving a lot of flack this season just because, some people say he's not playing with a ton of energy. But in this game, I saw he was, like, diving for loose balls, and obviously he had that one where he, like, dove into the stands. And just, like, that seems to be something that's, like, changed with him, or at least clicked with him, where he's playing with, like, a ton more energy, or at least he's looking like he's playing with a ton more energy, where he might have been before, but, like, you can definitely see it now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might just be that, like, you know, we kind of, like, you know, I mean, obviously we had, like, the four-game losing streak or three-game losing streak, whatever it was, earlier, but, like, outside of that, you know, we've been kind of, like, trending towards, like, winning more compared to, like, the first 2 months of the year. So, you know, that, I mean, maybe that's one of those things where, like, you know, your mood is better. So, like, it's almost one of those things where, like, that kind of breeds that motivates you to play better, I suppose. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's, maybe he just decided to all of a sudden, you know, play more effort. I can't say, but.
Yeah, he might be just, like, riding high off the current streak that we're on, but it's just nice to see those kind of extra effort plays that like you didn't really necessarily see at the start of the season.
Yeah, or I think didn't he mention that one play? I forget the past couple of games where, like, he defended a 3-on-1 fast break essentially, like that. I mean, so that's kind of the same deal.
Yeah, exactly. Like he had that one, and then yeah, he like had that with that one loose ball where he dove into the stands, and then he had like another one. Like where he dove into the crowd or something, and I think there was another one of those in the T-Wolves game as well.
Yeah, I mean that's.
But then another thing that like we should definitely bring up this game, and this will lead into the T-Wolves game as well, is that Dwight Howard actually recorded his 17th and 18th double doubles in this season on both those games, with 17 and 14 in this game, and I think one of the cool things was that, like, especially when they went to the Hacker Howard, he was actually 5-for-5 from the line by the end of the game.
Because I think they tried to foul him or send him to the line twice, and he made all four of the free throws. And it's like,
yeah, it was pretty crazy. Plus, they had that one lane violation as well.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just one of the crazy, you know, things about the game. Well, and I remember in the fourth quarter because like the game, I don't remember. I want to say, I wrote this down somewhere, it was like tied at 83 with 7 minutes in the game, and then we go on for the next four minutes, we go on like a 14-2 run, and then that's kind of when the game got out of hand for them. So, I think it's something that I kind of touched on last week, where like for stretches of the game, like, you know, we can play like awesome defense, and like, you know, again, this one happened in the fourth, you know, so I mean that, I don't know, I guess that's just like, I don't know if I can, like, draw anything, like, overall in terms of, like, oh, this means something. But, I mean, like, if they do this more often, then obviously, you know, that eventually results in more wins, so.
I'm not sure if there's anything I can, like, draw away from it just because, like, I don't know if, like, something's changed or, like, something. But it definitely seems like they're focusing more, at least on defense, where they're not just, like, giving up, like, the easiest layups in the world like they have been at the start of the season, which is, like, one of the main things that people were harping on about on this team. And it's just like, it's nice to see them actually just like at least playing with a little bit of effort on the defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because, I mean, naturally, like in the fourth quarter in a close game, like you typically play with more, usually you play with more effort. I mean, it doesn't always happen, but I mean, and I always kind of contributed to like, you know, the game tends to slow down. It's not like it's back and forth. So, which I mean, I like kind of wonder if that actually sometimes works in our favor, at least in terms of like the defense, because like, you know, we're not giving up as many turnovers or like, you know, we're not like running up and down the court. So it's more like half court defense. And then like, we're actually not like a bad, you know, half court defensive team, you know, in that situation. So I don't know. I mean, that.
Yeah, that's definitely, it definitely could be a factor. Cause like we always have like the fourth quarter defense seems to be where we play our best defense, at least in these recent games. And, like it seems like in the third quarter is where we actually play some of our worst defense. So it's just like maybe just the fact that, as you said, the game slows down a little bit in the fourth quarter, where they're trying to like actually make plays to secure the game, and maybe that works in our favor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can only guess. Like that's kind of just a theory, but I mean, I've seen us play bad defense in the fourth quarter as well. So that's it. Kind of like, I don't know.
It could mean something. It could mean absolutely nothing. But it's just nice to see this, like, if you can actually play defense at all.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think like it, we're not seeing the team like because I wouldn't say there was like a stretch in December where we were playing like really good defensively, and then like this recent run where we've been playing good teams that's kind of like, you know, messed that up. Because I want to say like. The defense wasn't like it was an okay game against Memphis, but like Memphis isn't a great offensive team, so there's that. But and then, I forgot my point. Oh, because I was gonna say like, but we're actually kind of making it up with like our offense is better this year. So I mean, I think that might be where like, you know, how we can like make the jump to like, you know, making it out of the first round or making a good playoff run.
It seems like obviously we're on this 5-game win streak with the two Utah games, Indy, Memphis, and Minnesota. But it's strange that we have this like big win streak after we had those like that four loss losing streak where we had that like blowout against San Antonio, and I guess we and people like Rockets reporters and stuff like kind of speculating like. Like how the team's going to look when it comes to the Cleveland game coming up. Like, are we like that? That'll be like the barometer of like have we actually turned the season around, or is this just like a benefit of the schedule?
Yeah, I guess like the Utah game, well, and the Minnesota game. Yeah, Minnesota's like not a good team, obviously either. But Memphis and like the Pacers. Like, well, the Pacers was at home, but Minnesota or blah. But Memphis was, you know, in Memphis. So, I mean, those are like, you know, those aren't like wins against, you know, elite teams. But, I mean, those are like definitely like those like count, you know, as like we didn't just like beat a bad team sort of thing, you know. So, I mean, you know.
And we've definitely shown the ability to like close out games with the Minnesota and Indiana game. Like those were pretty close games towards the end. And where the team actually showed the ability to like close them out when it came to the like really important plays.
Yeah. So is that we were still in the Memphis game? I don't know if. I think that's all I have on Memphis.
I guess it was just like a couple of things I wanted to know. Like, obviously, this game was like extremely hot from three, and Marcus Thornton had 3 of 5, and Beverly was 3 of 5 as well. That seemed to be the magic number for this team, like making 3 3-pointers, like, and I don't know. There's not really like anything else like. Gasol had a good game, but like he was pretty much forced to because he was the only real like offensive threat on the team. There was a couple of cool buzzer beaters by Courtney Lee. That was pretty cool. Like I'm not rooting for the other team, but Courtney Lee had that pretty cool.
Oh, I think in the first half, like it was like the first quarter and the end of the half, like he both had both 3-pointers or something. Or was that this game, or was that
game? That was this game. I haven't said anything else to bring up about this game other than the fact that it was nice to get a good win against a good team, even though they didn't have one of their starters out. I guess do you want to move on to the Timberwolves game?
Yeah, we should probably move on. Because that's about all I have to say.
So yesterday we actually had a good win against the Timberwolves, 104-107. This game's like made us go on a 5-game win streak and we didn't have Beverly in this issue in this game. Like, I think he had like some personal issues. Maybe I think it was like a family illness. So Terry actually got the start. So what did you take away from this game? Like, and like, how did you like Terry actually getting the start in this game?
Well, and this was also the game where, what was it, Lawson came back from his suspension, but not, I guess it makes sense to have Terry start just because he's been playing. I don't know. I mean, Terry, did he have like a, or I mean, I think he had like an okay game for him. Let's see. Or no, yeah, it was just like a 10 points, you know, 3-6 shooting, like a, I mean, just kind of like manage the game sort of thing.
Yeah, he had a couple of those pretty big threes at the end of the game as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm remembering now. Yeah, because the game was kind of close, and we needed a lot of those plays, yeah.
And I know you had a stat about, like, this was a pretty big game for James Harden as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he led the Rockets with, like, 27 on 8 or 12 shooting. Although, because on the other side of the ball, or on the other side of the court, Andrew Wiggins had 28 on 9 of 16. So, I mean, I guess if you want to, like, say, you know, who won the shooting match, it was Wiggins, because, you know, he had the better game. But, like, obviously, you know, the Rockets had, you know, more players, like, have good games because, like, you know, you have, you know, Howard, he had again, we referenced earlier, like, continue the double-double streak with 7 in a row. And then I think Ariza had just, like, a solid game. And then I want to say there was someone else. Oh, yeah, Terrence Jones. I'm trying to, like, remember his points is. Yeah, 16 points,
yeah.
You know, 7-11 shooting, and, like, 9 rebounds. Like, what, you know, what's going on?
Like, in this game, like, it's like as much as we praise him for the other game, he was 1-for-4 in this game, but he seemed pretty, like, for some reason, he seemed pretty tentative in this game when it came to taking threes, whereas in the other game, he was, like, letting them fly.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I think, like, he's always, like, it seems like he, like, lacks, you know, confidence, like, shooting the three, or, I mean, just in general, I would say, which, like, I mean, sometimes, like, that's a good thing because you don't want, you know, because, I mean, the opposite of that is being, like, Josh Smith and just, like, letting it fly and then, like, you know. So, I mean, I guess, like, in some ways you don't want them, like, to go crazy. But, like, yeah, definitely, you know, he's definitely capable. He's, like, the second, you know, leading, like, in terms of three-point percentage, like, he's, like, the second highest, I want to say, right? So.
Yeah, it's I think it's Beverly. I think Beverly's our highest 3-point shooter, and then Terrence Jones is probably the second.
Yeah, like 38% or 37% or something. Like, but he doesn't take that many, so that's a lot of the reason.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to bring up just about Terrence Jones. Like, I've obviously mentioned that his 3-point percentage has gone up, but he's actually on pace to attempt and make more threes than his previous high, which was actually in his second year in the league, where he attempted 101 and made 31, and he's already attempted about 60 and made 20. So he's if he keeps going at this pace, then he's actually on pace to, like, have his best percentage season and also attempt and make more than he has before.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Well, because, like, last year he was out for, like, half the year, like the first half of the year, I want to say. And
yeah.
So, I mean, I don't remember. I want to say, I remember seeing that he averaged, like, 35% from three, like, the last, like, couple of games, you know, of the last season. So, I mean, I wonder if, like, if you prorated out, like, for the whole season, like, if he's on pace for last year or, like,
I don't know, I'm saying he's on pace to beat his, previous high.
Yeah, which would have been the season before that, I guess, but.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I mean, because I don't know, I suppose he was probably, like, a solid 3-point shooter his second year, but I guess, or I think that was the first year that he was the starting power forward, or maybe, I don't know, am I getting the seasons mixed up now?
Oh, well, in his second season, like, from what I've seen, like, I think that was the season where he was getting a lot of starts as power forward, and then obviously last season he had the injury where he was out about half the season.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess he probably would have shot a lot of threes. Although I want to say he was, like, 30% from the field, or 30, you know, like, in the low 30s or something.
Yeah, in the second season, and then in the season he was about 35. But yeah, obviously that was offset by the fact that he didn't play a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I'm glad that it's, like, an upward climb in terms of, you know, percentage. Like, it's, you know, because we've needed, like, you know, good outside shooting, especially, like, you know, from the power forward, like, because, like, that's kind of, like, the style we want to play, where we have, like, the stretch four, so we can. you know, like let people drive to the basket and, you know, more spacing and all that, you know.
Yeah, and with Damar still out, you kind of need that extra threat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Maniunas was supposed to be that guy, but I mean, he's been injured so far. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, what's happened with that.
Yeah, he's like he's still out with some kind of back issues, and there's not really a timetable of when he'll come back. So, if T. Jones can keep doing this, like, he'll either like be able to earn a contract with this team, or be able to like people like other teams will like see him as somebody that they might be able to build around, and then we might be able to get something better back for him.
Yeah. I mean, he'll definitely, because yeah, he's going to be a restricted free agent next year. So I mean, he's going to get money somewhere, but. You know.
Yeah, I don't think he's a max player, but like he'll definitely get a good contract somewhere next year. If it's not here, then he'll I think they kind of need to decide pretty quickly whether or not they want to keep him, because like if they don't, then like you'll either be stuck with that contract next year or you won't get anything back for him. So like if they don't plan to get anything back for him, then I suggest that they kind of need to figure out their options of trade assets, because like this is probably the best. He's probably his hottest right now than he has been this whole season. So you might as well try and see what you can get for him.
Yeah, I mean, and it does kind of add complications that like, you know, Demo is out with the injury, because like I think like realistically, if everyone was like 100% healthy, you know, you'd want him to be the starting power forward, like probably even over Capella, just because like he has the range. But I mean, that's, you know, not really working out that well. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like whenever he started, it's not really worked out for us. So, like, but he's giving us good numbers off the bench. So for now, this will probably be the best situation for him.
Yeah. Oh, and we mentioned, because we're still talking about the T-Wolves game. Like, we haven't mentioned what was it? James Harden had his 10,000th point in the fourth quarter, I want to say.
Yeah, it was he actually became, like in the fourth quarter, he actually became the seventh player since like for those entering after 1985 to get 10,000 points, 2,000 rebounds, 2,000 assists, 700 steals, 200 block shots in less than 500 games. And that's like a group that includes guys like I think LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, and Grant Hill, like those kind of guys. So that's pretty elite company.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing about the 10,000 points thing like during the game, but then people added the you know, rebounds and assists and steals, and I mean, block shots is like, you know, I guess like that's a fine thing to add on, but like the rebounds, assists, and steals, like, you know, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I wouldn't call him like, you know, like a pass first point guard or like a good rebounder, but I mean, he gets enough that like he's not like bad in any of those categories. So I mean, I guess like when you add it all together, that it's kind of like really valuable, you know, that he's getting those extra rebounds and passing it, you know, a couple times a game.
Yeah, it's cool to see that like he's like hit one of those like milestones that you always see people hit.
Yeah, or yeah, and how many years has he been in the league? It's like 6 or 7 years or something like that. So I mean,
yeah, I think he entered in, I want to say 2009 or 2010.
Or yeah,
it's earlier than that.
I mean, somewhere around there, like, but I want to say he's only like 25 or something like that. So I mean,
he ended in 2010, and yeah, he's 26 at the moment.
Yeah, so yeah, that makes sense. So I don't know. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, just a couple of other random stats. Like, to contrast the Memphis game, we were 7 for 30 on the 3-point line. So, kind of a like a flip from the last game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that was, yeah, and Harden was like 2 of 10 from the 3-point line, so that it's kind of like, I want to say he's like 4 of 9 in the Memphis game. So I mean, it's like obviously not as efficient.
Like another flip was just like they actually out rebounded us 43-39, 4 of 8 offensive, and like it was like this was kind of like an opposite game to the Memphis game, but we were still able to pull it out, and we only had 16 turnovers, so that was a pretty good so a couple of pretty good stats to see.
I remember speaking of turnovers, because I remember in the first quarter writing down that like we finished the first quarter with 9 turnovers, but then from the field we were 8 of 16. So that's like we turned the ball over, you know, more times than we made a field goal. So, and I mean, the fact that we went from there to finishing with 16 turnovers, so that would mean 7 turnovers for the rest of the game. Like, I mean, it's bad that we had the bad first quarter, but I mean, I guess like we made up for it, you know, the rest of the game.
Yeah, it was a pretty weird first quarter, but then it seemed to even itself out after that.
Yeah.
Just to run off a couple of stats from this game, like one of the biggest ones, like not from our team, like obviously James had 27 and 11, Jones had 16 and 9, and Howard had another double double, but I think like if it was like a best of the worst for the other team, I think you'd probably have to give it to Kevin Martin, who had 22 shots and 22 points and 10 shots. That was I was pretty crazy. And when he went for that last three of the game that Trevor Ariza defended just perfectly, then like that was kind of scary. He seemed to be pretty hot from like whenever he took a shot.
But I guess speaking of Kevin Martin shooting three pointers, there was that time in the last 2 minutes of the game, like I want to say it was like Zach LaVine, because like I think he was the point guard. He does this weird thing where he like passes it to Kevin Martin, and then because he was, you know, he was like right next to Kevin Martin when he made the pass, he also did this weird like screen move where I don't think it was intentional, but like because James Harden was like he was trying to contest, you know, Kevin Martin's three, that caused him to run into, you know, Zach LaVine and get the offensive foul out of it, essentially, because it was an illegal screen. And then, like so they blow the whistle, and then it's like Kevin Martin, you know, his three goes in, but, like, obviously it doesn't count because it's an offensive foul. So, I mean, that's, like, that's literally Harden's defense preventing 3 points, because, like, if he's not contesting that shot as hard as he was, you know, like, that's – and, I mean, we won the game by we won the game by three, right? Yeah, 104, 107. I want to say that would have tied the game, too.
But, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, so I mean that's like a, I guess in terms, like I don't think we played that, the defense wasn't that great, you know, this game. I mean it was like okay, because, but I mean yeah, like moments like that, you know, that's obviously like a positive. And then I guess to go back to the Kevin Martin thing, because like what was it? It was 22 points on 10 shots. Like because I don't know if you were watching the team when Kevin Martin was, because he was like former Rocket.
No, I don't go back that far.
Yeah, and I mean, we were kind of like a mediocre team. Like we'd like always miss the playoffs. Like, but like we'd always be over 500. You know, like I'm trying to think of like 40, you know, 2 wins or 43 wins or something like that. But then we'd miss the playoffs because like the West is good, obviously. You know, or was good back then. And and that was like what was it? Kevin Martin, Luis Scola, you know, Kyle Lowry, all those guys. But yeah, Kevin Martin was like, this was the player that he was. Like he was always like, you know, because he had like a 7 of 8, you know, 7 free throws, you know, made, you know, 8 free throws attempted, you know, 3 of 7 from 3, you know. So I mean, that's, you know, that's like a classic, you know, Kevin Martin stat line. You know, like I think he averages like, you know, 10 a game, because I mean he's a lot older now. So, but you know, I don't know.
He's like the way they were talking about it, like it seems like he's. Like they were just talking about him like he was kind of like a like the pre Harden James Harden. Like he was like a guy that would be able to like draw fouls in sneaky ways and get really hot from three, but like more of like a streaky shooter.
Yeah, like I mean that's weird. Yeah, I mean they're similar in that. Yeah, because they both got to the line a lot. Although like the way they did it like was different. Because I don't know. I mean it's kind of hard to like compare the two, but like. Yeah, I mean, and they're both shooting guards, and all, you know, they're not as good on the defensive side of the ball. So I mean,
yeah, definitely a really good win. Like, it's obviously Minnesota's a pretty mediocre team right now this year, but like, definitely a quality win, and obviously extended our win streak to 5. And just I think we might have talked about this at the start of the season. Like, these are the kind of wins that we need to like start getting. Like, those 3 Denver wins are going to be killer at the end of the season, but like these are the ones we need to start getting.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely good that because I think I read an article where it's like okay, like this is like the type of game where we would have lost it, like 2 months ago. This would have been like the the Sacramento loss or the, or, you know, or what was it, the Nets or Denver, like in December, like this would have been like that type of loss where, you know, because I want to say those were close games as well. And it's like, you know, just, I guess a few more good plays, like, you know, not turning the ball over as much. I mean, even though we had nine in the first, like, you know, not turning it over later in the game and like shooting a little bit better from three. I guess, again, we didn't shoot as well in this particular game, but, and then defensively making like some plays down the stretch. And I mean, that's kind of how you know, that's how you can escape with a win, you know, in these situations against bad teams.
It just seems like with like just like the bench contribution is like, it's been a little bit more consistent, like these past couple games as well. Like in this one, like there was like a 38 points from the bench. So like, it's like they still beat us on bench points, but it's like that's the kind of contribution you need from the bench, just like just to keep you, so to keep the team in the game.
Yeah, yeah, I can't disagree with that. Like, what was it, 9 from 3?
I don't feel like guys like Corey Brewer need to like obviously people have been ragging on him this whole season, but like 7 points, like that's not a ton, but like it's the kind of like consistent contribution you kind of need to get from these like role player guys.
Yeah, and I guess it's the fact that, like, because, I mean, even Ty Lawson, like, he played for, like, this was the first game back, so he played, like around 22 minutes, and, like, I mean, he wasn't that efficient from the floor, but, like, 2 of 6, and then, and 6 points, which, I mean, that's nothing to, like, write home about, but, like, I guess the fact that you're getting that, like, that's, like, the worst of the four, you know, bench players, and then, obviously, you know, Jones had, like, 16, and, you know, on 7 of 11 shooting, and, you know, you got 7 from Brewer and 9 from Thornton. So, I mean, that's, I guess it's good that, you know, multiple bench guys kind of like contributed just a little bit.
Just back to Terrence Jones for a little bit. Like, is it right that he was like a point guard when he started his basketball, like when he started in basketball?
I think what the story is when he was in high school, he was a point guard. Like, he played, that's kind of why he's that type of player.
Yeah, because he's got that like kind of really soft touch around the rim, and just like he's got like, even like obviously like people, like one of the things that people always make fun of him for is like he doesn't dunk the ball like a lot, but like he, like it's like he had a lot of those like floater kind of shots where like those really soft ones, and like I think that's like a really good strength of his.
Yeah, I mean I think like in a weird way, because I mean you kind of see signs of like him actually being a good passer too, like because like they'll run that like a, it was the same thing where Josh Smith was like, you know, last year in the playoffs, like against Dallas, where like in that fourth quarter where he had like all those alley-oops to Dwight, like I think they ran like a similar play like once or twice in the game. I remember it happening at least once where like he did this weird thing where he it was if he dribbled in or got the ball, it was like a pick or something, and you know he dribbled in and then they obviously left him, they left Dwight to cover him, and so it was just a simple pass and, you know, in an alley, you know, for Dwight Howard. So,
speaking about his passing ability, he also had the, like a good play at the end of the game where I think Brewer was coming down on a fast break, and then he passed it back to T. Jones, who found I think it was Thornton who got an easy layup.
Oh yeah, it was like one of the, like I don't know if that officially counted as a fast break point, but that's like I think I've heard of like Daryl Morey talking about like the secondary break where like, because now suddenly like they stopped the initial break, but then suddenly, you know, because we had more, I think we had like extra guys, like we had 4 guys and then they only had 3. So you just have a guy like Thornton cut to the basket and then, you know, no one covers him because they have to cover, you know, they have to cover the guy that they're on. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's how that happens is you know, I mean, that's like everyone running, you know, running back as fast as you can. And sometimes things like that will happen.
Yeah, and like it's definitely an underrated ability of Terrence Jones. It's like his playmaking ability. Like when he's dialed in, like his playmaking ability is actually really good. Like he'll be able to like find your open guys. Like he's not like a great dribbler, because like when you see him dribble, it's kind of awkward. But he's definitely like one of those guys who's able to like find people like cut into the basket.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and what kind of, I think the thing that I was going to talk about earlier was because I think like he'd be a lot better at like the, he'd be like more of a Draymond Green where, you know, because he, you know, Green averages like 7 assists, but like he, because like Jones doesn't really like, he doesn't have like the offensive skills to like just to draw a double team on his own. So like, so he can't just like, you know, get past his guy and like, you know, or like, you know, come off the pick and roll and like, and use his passing skills. So, I mean, you only really see it in these weird situations, like in the fast break. Like, he's actually pretty good at like leading the, or not leading the fast break, but like, you know, usually like, or what's the term? Like, you know, whoever gets the rebound and then like the guy that they pass to,
like I'm making like outlet passes or,
or yeah, I guess like the first outlet pass, like, Terrence Jones can be the guy that receives the first outlet pass. And then like, if that were Demo, like Demo couldn't like dribble the ball, you know, all, you know, past half court, you know, and start the, you know, and start the break. Like, but you know, Jones, you know, because, you know, he's like good enough at dribbling that, that he's not, and I mean, fast enough, or I mean, faster for a power forward, I suppose, you know, that, that, I mean, you'll see him occasionally like, you know, be on the break. So, I mean, that, that's kind of where, I mean, that's like really his value to the team is like, and that's like the one thing that he has over Monte Yunus, like in terms of like power forward, is that like, he, you know, he's kind of like, he's better in the in transition than you know, than the other power forwards. So I mean, so yeah, I mean, that's
like a, your comparison to Draymond Green. That's actually kind of all, like very pretty close. Like he, like when you look at their skill sets, he's there. They are kind of a similar player, but like, Draymond Green's just a little more, like he has a little more, like he's a little bit stronger, and like he's obviously his like 3-point percentage is better, and his passing ability is better, but like he's kind of like a less effective Draymond Green, but yeah, they are definitely similar kind of players.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like obviously a worse you know, defender and rebounder. I mean, that's basically the two biggest differences. So I mean, yeah, that's. But I mean, yeah, they do kind of have similar like body types and all that. So I mean, but yeah, the big things are rebounding and defense, which that's kind of like a big weakness of his. Like that's why like he's probably better suited to be, you know, the guy coming off the bench and like either Capella or Monte Yunus being the starter. You know.
Yeah, and Capella's, I think, definitely like he's the right move to go for a power forward in the starting unit, just because like. Like when it comes to like offensive rebounds, like a lot of the time, like you notice like when he gets an offensive rebound, because he just like snaps it down, and then just like he's definitely been, I think, one of the key pieces in this run. Like him and Dwight Howard together, just like that rebounding combination has just been really good for us recently.
Yeah. I want to say that Capella's like, in terms of like per like 36 minutes, he's like. Like in like near the top of the league in like offensive rebounding or something like that, or like percentage or something like that. I remember reading a statistic recently. I don't remember the exact like statistic, but I remember how to do with offensive rebounding specifically.
Like yeah, this is like it's like T. Jones off the bench is probably where he should stay, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I'm not gonna argue with that one.
Did you have anything else to bring up about the T-Wolves game, or should we just go on to the upcoming schedule?
Man, yeah, I don't. I mean, I think I've talked about everything, so that's fine. I mean, yeah, like you know, two games up for 500, you know, 5-game winning streak, you know, all that.
Yeah, definitely. Just like the only thing is just like good, like a team's like it should like be easy wins, and like this wasn't an easy win, but it was a win that we needed to get if we wanted to like. Keep going up in the standings.
Yeah. I mean, that's you know.
So yeah, just a quick show this week. But we've actually only got 3 games before our next show. We've got this. I think it's tomorrow against Cleveland. Or is it tomorrow? Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's Friday, and yeah. It's like what is it on ESPN, like national TV? They're playing in. Like in San Antonio, like today, like on Thursday. So I mean, I guess like that kind of sucks from the. I mean, or it's good obviously because it means you know they'll be like slightly, you know, more tired. But like from the perspective of like measuring the team, you know, I'd almost prefer that it be like you know both sides completely healthy and all that.
Yeah, but like yeah, and I think yeah, Cleveland just played Dallas as well. So like I think they've had like a Texas road trip.
Yeah, like you see that a lot. Like I want to say, I want to say Minnesota did that as well, or maybe or it was another team that like did that. Maybe the Jazz. I don't know.
Yeah, so as we said, we got Friday, versus Cleveland. Then we have a back to back in LA. We've actually got the Lakers, then Clippers, and yeah, Clippers. As we said at this top of the show, the Clippers have had a pretty hot streak with Blake Griffin out. Like they're actually on a 10-game win streak, and it doesn't look like Blake will be back for the game versus us. So, what do you reckon we'll be able to pull off in these next 3 games?
Or I mean, I don't know. Or I mean, should we like talk about them like one by one, or like I don't know, like because against Cleveland, I mean, I feel like well, that's like this is a like is this in Cleveland or I think this is at home.
This is at home.
So I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess like that's definitely a winnable game, but like Cleveland, I want to say they have like a winning streak of their own going too, like a.
Yeah, they're actually on an 8-game win streak now, and they're playing San Antonio at the moment, and they're actually beating them by about 10 points.
Yeah, so I mean, well, I mean, whether or not like they win, you know, today or not, like you know, they've been playing well because I think like they've gotten everyone healthy, you know, like you know, Kyrie Irving
Yeah,
and
Kyrie Irving's been, he actually came back relatively recently.
yeah, so I mean, that's yeah, that's obviously a good thing for them,
Yep.
and I mean, yeah, they've been kind of on like somewhat of a tear, so it's gonna be a tough game, but like I want to say last year, I mean, it wasn't the same situation, like it was like around like March, like Kyrie Irving was out, but this was when Dwight Howard was still out. So like, and we ended up beating the Cavs in overtime. So although this is the team from last year, so I mean, I guess, but I mean, it's not like it's I don't know. This isn't a team where we like historically have a problem against them. So I mean, I'm not too worried, but I mean, obviously they're a good team. So.
Yeah, that was actually one of the games that I was actually able to watch. Like when I started watching the team last year, and that was actually a really good game against the world where it was like LeBron versus James, because like they had that like little scuffle near the end of the game where like James kicked him in the nuts or something.
Oh yeah, he actually got suspended like the next game or something for that. Which I mean, I don't think it was like intentional, but I mean, you know, that I guess you just have to like I understand like him getting suspended, but like you know, that's just the league these days.
Yeah, that was like that really crazy game. I think like Beverly got into it with LeBron as well, and like it was a very intense game that we ended up pulling out in overtime, as you said.
Yeah, but well, yeah, and I mean, Cleveland, I want to say at that point, like they were on, that was like kind of when they started pulling things together and playing well. Even with I think Kyrie Irving was out the game, you know, they were still like it wasn't like a situation. And I mean, we had Dwight Howard out, so it's not like you know things were you know. So I mean, we had you know players out as well. So I mean, that's I don't know. Like again, like I hesitate to like compare last year to this year, but it's like I guess like I mean LeBron, you know, he's gonna do like. I mean, I think he had like a solid game that game, but like, you know, he'll get his. But then, like, you know, like I think like we kind of like know how to play that team, and like there's not like an obvious like a like you know weird mismatch where like you know we're gonna get killed or something.
Yes, do you reckon, so do you reckon we pull out that game or no?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's gonna be a loss just because like you know. I don't know. We haven't like beaten teams like Cleveland enough this year for me to like feel confident. But I mean, I kind of feel the same as I did the Pacers and you know, and like recently where it's like okay, like these are like good teams, you know, that we should be able to beat. But like you know, it's more. It's almost like a like I don't know. It's like we actually have to like prove that you know that we can beat teams like that, you know, consistently. You know, I don't know.
I think I think like at the start of the show, like this is like what I said, like this will be like the barometer game where we'll like find out whether or not we've turned the season around or not, because this is like
Yeah,
one of
I
the
mean,
best
or
teams
this
in
is
the
definitely
league.
one of the games where like, yeah, we're like, yeah, we'll see like how they measure up against like, you know, another good team that's playing well and all that. So, you know,
Now, like,
hopefully we win, but like, you know.
moving on to the Lakers, like do we really need to talk about this one, or do you want to just like, because we've
Yeah,
already
I
beaten them
mean,
twice this year.
well, I guess this is in LA, if I understand, yeah, because we play the Lakers and then the Clippers like the next day. So it's like, I mean, it's, like we blew the Lakers out, you know, the other 2 times we played. Like again, like, and it's like I say the same thing where it's like, you know, we've definitely lost to bad teams before. So but like, you know, we should beat bad teams like that. We should consider this to be a win. And like, if we lose, you know, it should be a disappointing loss. Like, unless like something crazy happens, like injury wise or like, you know, something weird. But like otherwise, I mean, I'm pretty sure we should feel like we should win this game. Like, you know, like we should be really confident about winning the game.
It is like one of the few bad teams we've actually blown out, and we've actually done it twice this year. So I'm going to chalk that up to a win. I'm pretty confident in that as well. Yeah. Like, there's one of the teams I'm actually confident we can beat, because like they're probably like one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we actually have a back to back against the Clippers. We've actually played this team twice as well, and we've beat them twice as well. So with no Blake Griffin, and I'm not sure if DeAndre Jordan will be back or not, because like he actually sat out these last games due to like pneumonia or something. So what do you think this game is one that we can pull out again to like go for our third win against the Clippers this season?
Well, I'm not quite sure. Like, so how long has Blake Griffin been? Like, I've heard that he's been out for a while. Like
about 10 games.
Because I'm almost curious like how they back. I mean, it's not like I'm not surprised that they're still a good team without Blake Griffin, because like they've had the last I want to say it was either last year or the year before, like Blake Griffin went out with an injury, and they kind of just continued the same like base. I want to say it was last year, because that was like DeAndre Jordan kind of like picked up, you know, where you know Griffin left off. So I mean, maybe it's it's him getting better, like him kind of doing the same thing, you know, in Griffin's absence, you know, that's kind of what's carrying them. But like it seems like I don't know. I'm actually kind of surprised that they've been able to win 10 in a row. I mean, that, you know.
But yeah, when no Blake Griffin is like one of their primary scoring threats, like it's just pretty surprising that they've actually been able to rail off 10 wins. But I think Chris Paul has just like upped his game to another level. Like, yeah. I think he's like averaging close to 10 assists or something.
Yeah. And I mean, I actually kind of feel good about beating the Clippers, just because I want to say in the past, like I don't know what it was, but like I felt like we had a bad matchup, but then like maybe it's I don't know. I mean, it's because it seems like, I mean, Blake Griffin's probably like the one of the work like the hardest guys for us to defend, because like unless I mean, Josh Smith was probably the best defender against him, but like obviously he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not really, it's like something we need to worry about this game,
we seem to do okay against like Chris Paul, and then like DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard kind of cancel each other out. So I mean, you know, because I mean, I want to say we were like, I don't remember what our record was last year, but it was either 2-2 or 3-1 or something like that. And then obviously we beat them in the 7-game series. And we've won the first two games this year in the series against them. So like one at home and one on the road, I believe. So
yeah, I think this is just like a, I think this, like, especially with Beverly back, like Beverly played Paul pretty well in the past two games. So like I think this will be a game where we're able to pull it out again. I think this is just one of those teams that we have their number.
Yeah, or I mean, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say like we have the number, but I mean, yeah, like considering that like they have more wins than us, like I feel pretty like good about like being able to beat them. I don't know, maybe you have to like be a little bit less confident about it, because like it's on the second night of the back-to-back, and then you know it's in LA, but I mean, you're playing the Lakers the night before, so it's not like you have to travel or anything, so that I don't know, that's one of those
so like I think my question is going to be about like I think I'm about the same as you are. It's like I think we'll win the back to back, but I think we might drop the Cleveland game. Like, is that about where you're at with these games?
Yeah, I mean 2-1 this week. I mean, I guess like it's possible that we just beat the Lakers and then lose to Cleveland and the Clippers. But like, I feel like we should win like one of those. Like, and I mean that would be obviously going 3-0 would be like awesome, but like, If we can escape this week 2-1, like, you know, that's like, you know, fine.
Yeah, that'll still be a pretty good outcome, and I think we'd jump a couple of spots in the standings if we did.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we'd probably pass up Memphis and Dallas, like, unless they also were winning, but
yeah, like it'll be nice that like we might, like we could potentially end up in the fifth seed if we, it depends on how we do this in this upcoming games.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think like that's just about it for this show. Just, to close it out, we're on iTunes. If you just search three men and a beard, you can you'll be able to find all of our previous episodes. And if you could rate and review us, that'd be great. Just lets people just find us a little bit easier. And you can find all of Jeff's post game recaps on multiplesources.net/HoustonRockets. And we're actually using our official Twitter account for the show. You just search at @3menbeard13 on Twitter. And I was able to get on that a bit on the Memphis game, but I kind of dropped the ball on the Timberwolves game. But we'll try to use that a little bit more frequently, and hopefully it'll be able to get a community going for the show. And you can also email the show at 3menbeard@gmail.com. So, did you have anything else to add to that, Jeff?
No. You got everything.
Sweet. So, yeah, hopefully we go 3-0, and that'll be it for us. So, just go Rockets.